Georgia Paul on radio with the publisher of GeorgiaPaul.com, Charlie Harper. Good day to you. Good Friday to you.
Good Friday. And while we're all just sitting around talking, hey, why don't we do a radio show? Hey, it's about that time. Mike's live. Let's do this. Hello, everyone. Today will be an unusual day of Rhino Radio from the Rhino Shield studio, where Rhino Shield, it's better than paint. We're coming to Georgia Paul. Last night is what we call signy die, and that means sign e die, something like the end in Latin. I don't honestly even remember. I don't care. I've had 3 hours sleep because what happens is the Capitol has 40 days that they're allowed to use in any order they want throughout the calendar year to do a session of the General Assembly. And traditional folklore is that you go to midnight, and at midnight, time's up. And there's a historic picture that's about 50 years old of a state rep literally hanging over the balcony from the top gallery in the House to change the clock back so that it doesn't strike midnight. Last night, we kind of threw that out and just went, you know what? A day is 24 hours. And so I think they went to, what, 12:30, John? I bugged out right
about
midnight.
Yeah, it was right at about 12:30.
I've watched them throw paper before. But anyway, it ended last night. And then, of course, after it ends, you know, everyone's standing around, got nothing better to do. So you just kind of go out. And, there's a few gatherings after. John went home to get his beauty sleep so he can actually report for us today. I went out and just kind of tried to take a temperature check of various folks, and celebrated my Lenten activities by not drinking at a place that would have been very, very easy to, and with conditions that would have made it very, very much for me to want to. But point is this, it's for those of us that work in and around the Capitol, be it on the reporting side or issue side, lobbying side, the electeds, this is a pretty big deal. It's also a transition because in May these guys are up for re-election, the state senators and state representatives. And so there's a little bit of a break for Easter weekend. It is Good Friday today, and we're going to address that later in the show. But, it's over. Last night was big party, and we have laws, and we have some non-laws, and then we have a lot of hurt feelings, frankly. This was a Capitol where there are a lot of bitter fights, because when you're fighting about things that don't have metrics attached to them but do have morals and principle, those fights can often get a lot dirtier than when you're just fighting over things that don't matter, like money, jobs, education, and whatnot. So with that said, John, you and Stefan both work the Capitol this time. John is down there every day as the editor of GeorgiaPaul.com. Stefan, you kind of were backing up in an unofficial capacity, I believe, as an aide, but you were down there a good bit, correct?
Yeah, I was
safe
there pretty
to say
much
that
every
that
day.
Way. And so you guys were inside and kind of watched this sausage being made. And so we're going to talk about the religious. You two have gone at it, this entire session over religious freedom, and I've started to weigh in a little more. And get more interested as the debate, I believe, became more and more harmful to the state. We're going to set that aside right now because, honestly, I think that is what everyone's going to be talking about for a while. But there's so much done in the session. I know a lot of people look at it and say, why did they spend their time on this bill when they could have been? Well, there's 180 reps and 56 senators. They're divided into committees, and they multitask. So, other than the one time when a bill is actually on the floor for a vote, that's the only time everyone's working on that bill. And many bills get, what, a minute, 2 minutes, if even that, to go in front of everyone. It's the committee work that does it. So they do a lot of things. So let's start, give me a couple things that we did right this year, or at least that we did, whether it's 100% right, but we moved some things. Let's start with Scott Holcomb, because it was a Democrat.
Hell yeah.
That passed a bill, a rape kit bill. And honestly, I don't know the details of it because it was one of those, when a Democrat can pass a bill with broad consensus, I don't put a lot of attention to what the actual bill is because it's one of those universal things that doesn't require a lot of assistance and or me understanding it to nuance what's going on. And yet, when it got to the Senate, it was killed. And so it had to come back as a zombie bill in a different bill where someone gutted the original contents of a different bill to make sure, because the PR of... But anyway, what this was there's apparently a bunch of untested rape kits at the Georgia Crime Lab or GBI, wherever those are, and at various hospitals. I mean, they're throughout the system, shall we say. And this is a measure to get those tested and documented and processed, if you will. Is that...
Yeah, basically, there's a lot of untested rape kits out there, and they're just shunted aside. There weren't any guidelines or any sort of plan for dealing with them, and so there was no way of knowing if they'd be tested or not. Some of them got sent to GBI, some of them didn't, and you had to have a plan to and a timeline for testing all these rape kits, for getting them out of the hospitals, getting them out of the local constabularies, if you will, and getting them to the GBI test lab so that we could then go get grant money. And it was a good bill. It was well drawn up and well pushed by Scott Holcomb. And then it came across to the Senate, and it could not find itself kind of hearing in Health and Human Services, where it was assigned. It was correctly assigned to Health and Human Services and just could not even get a hearing in there. And so what happened was, a couple days ago, Elena Parent's bill was gutted to provide a vehicle for the rape kit bill. It cleared the House yesterday morning at like noon, I think, 11:30.
Yeah, it was the first bill that was considered.
First bill, yeah, it came across, and then it was Elena Parent's show, basically, and spent 10 hours getting the whip count over and getting the Republicans on board. It was just incredible push by Scott Holcomb for 40 days, and then for both of the rest of the team for one, and it was really a triumph of bipartisanship and good government in the end.
And before John jumps in, I just want to say there's so many frustrated people after a session like this that you focus on the negative. I want to start there for that reason. This was an issue. It's you know, these things aren't partisan. They're right. They're handled often in a partisan manner. But people came together in this environment where everyone and everything is hostile and figured out how to get it done. And even when there is a major roadblock, as it often is for inexplicable reasons, that for some reason is personal from one legislator to another,
yep,
figured it out. So let's start there on a positive note before we descend into whatever. John, you were
right.
Say.
Well, I just wanted to point out that I think this was getting this bill through. I know was a big goal for Speaker David Ralston. He wanted to get it done. Kind of signaled that a few days before the end of the session. And I think, and he mentioned last night when we talked to him after the session ended, after Sine Die, that was the first thing that he brought up, was that he was able to get a bipartisan bill actually through the House and through the Senate. And thought that was very good. And I'll also mention kind of something that happened not yesterday, but a little bit earlier. Of course, one of the things that takes a lot of time towards the end of the session is kind of the goodbye speeches from the various legislators. And earlier last week, D. Dawkins Hagler, who is a Democrat, African-American Democrat, who is leaving the House in order to try to run for Janice Vanessa's seat in the Senate. And so she had a chance to give her speech, but then the Speaker actually let her run the House as the Speaker temporarily. And it was kind of, I'm pretty sure it was D. You can talk.
Oh, yeah. Was it D? I thought it was Nikki Randall.
It might have been. Either way, you've got a situation
where
the Speaker was being trying to show bipartisanship in the way that everybody could get along.
Yes. No, it was absolutely – it was a wonderful moment. And just because John and I have forgotten the rep's name, that should
after,
not
– After
should
four
not take,
or 5 hours of sleep, it was, by
we
my
are,
hand.
We were – we
four.
Are – yeah.
Four. That's it's, luxury.
yeah. That's our bad, but it was a wonderful gesture. And I think it was Nikki Randall. But, you know, this is one of these things where we can agree to disagree on what the name of someone is. But, yeah, that was a wonderful moment. And there was a lot of wonderful moments. There's a lot of bills that get passed that everyone agrees on, and our people work really hard to get done, and it's the dissent, the ones where there's dissension, where everything gets covered very heavily because it gets very partisan, and there's a lot of outside groups that push that partisanship. But at the same time, it's kind of a beautiful thing when it works together, and I saw a lot of that this session.
Well, you know what a wonderful moment is?
I
it's when we go cooking with Miss Paula Deen.